Алло.
Алло.
Ты слушаешь?
Не.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, son.
I'm listening.
If you voted for Biden, I respect that, and I'll take it for what it is. But if he becomes president, please stick with him when he takes away your rights. Ruins our democracy. It encourages a civil war. Welcome to Chess Club, episode 12. I'm glad you are here. I'm glad you're here to expand your mind. And I have to give you a trigger warning. You won't be the same after this episode. Your neurons will have processed new information. None of us will be the same. You will be about 700 miles away from where you were. And you will be a different person in a new time, in a new place. You'll be time traveling. Your matter will transform.
And unless you're already 700 miles away from where you were, then you'll be 1,400 miles away from where you are.
Mm-hmm. So this one has some depth to it. Let's just get started. The Boogaloo.
Oh, Boogaloo Boys? You want to talk about that?
What do you mean, Boogaloo Boys? The Boogaloo is a key word.
You have not heard about the Boogaloo Boys movement?
I don't care about any movement. I just know that there's a common understanding of the word Boogaloo.
Well, the Boogaloo Boys are a right-wing militia group that is prepping for the upcoming civil war.
But you just snitched on them. Come on, David. How are they prepping?
Well, I mean, they've been going out to protests. They're obviously, you know, stocking up guns and ammunition, all the sorts of things that any sane person with a job is doing right now.
Was it Sweden or Switzerland that made their every resident own a machine gun?
I have no idea. I've never heard of that before.
Olato.
Actually, no, I did hear something. I don't know what country it was, but their crime rate was like basically zero, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because a well-armed population is a polite population.
Amen. So, what are these arms going to lead to?
So, speaking civil war, right? You know, everyone's saying, oh, a civil war is coming. I personally don't think that it's going to happen this election cycle. I don't think it's going to be a 2020 to 2024 civil war.
I'm right there with you, but let's play devil's advocate for a little bit.
Okay, so people who are saying that there's going to be a civil war, Republicans are bending over too much right now for there to be, but say there were to be a civil war, right? Very obviously, the side with guns and people who are less...
Fat?
No, what's the word I'm looking for?
You ever notice how...
compassionate. I was listening to Jordan Peterson. A person who is more predisposed to be a compassionate person is more likely to end up left of the spectrum, political spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it, the traits of the left are compassionate, quote unquote, you know. Even if that is misguided compassion, it's still, you know, compassion. And then the right, you have a lot more, I don't care about you, I care about me, myself, and my family.
Yeah, this is true.
And the right is the ones with the guns. Not very many left-leaning people own guns. I'm not speaking about classical liberals, because even a lot of classical liberals own guns. I'm talking purely like the lefties, the you know, like the cringe soy boys.
Oh yeah. They don't
have guns. So most classical liberals would end up probably going on, if there were to be a civil war, they would go on the right side, you know, like the libertarian conservative leaning.
Like they're just like they have mommy and they have daddy, and they were raised traditionally, but they feel that they learned a lot through their education. So they have this feeling. I don't want to like point and like label or anything, but I just feel like that set of values and, you know, morals is, I'd say, virtuous. I feel compassion is a great thing, but I feel like soy boys are in it for the altruism, like virtue signaling. Yeah. As soon as virtue signaling gains you nothing, I feel like you'll appreciate the other side's values more. Because virtue signaling is a currency right now, sorry. Like you get praise on social media, you get followers on social media. You can actually monetize virtue signaling if you do it correctly, but that's kind of worthless in a civil war environment.
That's facts. Where was I going with that? I'm
trying. You were saying libids are gonna switch right.
So, classical libertarians are different than. So I have two terms. I have leftists. And there's liberals. So a classical liberal is somebody who has, you know, a belief in left of center, you know, economic policy, left of center social policy. However, they're not the cancel culture, you know,
Joe Rogan,
virtue signaling, like Joe Rogan, for example, or Jordan Peterson. He's a classical liberal. Dave Rubin is a classical liberal. Tim Pool is a classical liberal.
Yep.
Now, a lefty is the cancel culture, take away your guns, take away your rights, you know, like, you know, fake rape accusations, that kind of stuff.
Authoritarian
left. Yep. That's absolutely the best way to phrase it. So those two sides are going to split apart and become a fractionalized basically, that'll split apart the left between
divided.
The classical liberal and the, you know, libtard, the leftist.
Yeah.
So the classical liberals, which has been happening already, are going to move more towards the right.
It's been literally happening. The West Coast has been moving to Texas, Oklahoma, Montana, you know, the entire, they're moving away from the other idea. A deal.
Yeah. So, like, you know, Tim Pool voted for Donald Trump this time around. He was a very, very adamant Obama.
Did he? He was pro Biden, yeah, wasn't he?
No, Tim Pool?
Yeah, he was like all like Biden 2020 and shit.
Oh. No, dude.
Bro, I'm pretty sure he voted
anti Biden.
Bro, I'm pretty sure he sold out to YouTube and voted Biden.
No. He voted Obama in 20.
The first 12? One.
The first one, and then not the
second one.
Second one, he didn't vote, and then he didn't vote.
Obama 2016. Bombed Syrian families.
Yep,
that's why he didn't vote.
Were like, you first joking? Day in office. Or
no, yeah, I was joking.
Okay, I'm like, oh my god, he's dumb.
So how does this tie into civil war?
So what I'm trying to kind of build up to that. So what I'm saying is classical liberals are going to move towards the right if there were to be a divide so bad that there'd be a civil war, which means now the right leaning side of the civil wars, you know, the conservative side has numbers. Right.
Right. It does.
As long as the right side is not the side that starts the civil war, because a lot of people would be very turned off by that. You know, So basically what I'm saying is conservatives have to be pacifists in this. And, you know, basically don't fire until you're fired upon. That's the way I'm seeing it.
Right.
Also, another thing, you know, we're talking about civil war. So in the first, you know, U.S. Civil War, there was a physical line in the sand, right? There was the North and the South.
I don't think there will be one this time.
It's impossible because. You know, the big cities, you have the liberals, but that's not necessarily the case because guess what? Conservatives live in the big cities too. And then same thing in the suburbs. I have probably just as many Biden Harris signs as there are Trump signs out here. And I live in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, he does.
So, well, I mean, there's more Trump signs, but there's definitely, you know, quite a few Biden Harris signs.
Yeah, I've worked in a lot of places. Like I drive around a lot. I've seen so many farms pro Biden.
Yeah.
Well, mainly like south of Minneapolis.
Yeah. But here's my point. If this is to turn into a civil war, it's not going to be like anything we've ever seen before. This is going to be guerrilla warfare. It's going to be, you know, it's going to look like, you know, how we've seen, you know, how you've seen terrorism is like, you know, like random ISIS little attacks here and there. And like, you know, just
small things.
It's not going to be a full out battlefield.
Far out there. You know that like viral picture with the Trump people with the trucks and the ISIS people with the trucks?
Mm-hmm.
Far out, I don't think they're very wrong. I know that like they're wrong in the sense of us being the bad guy because they're the bad guy. Well, no, I don't want to call anybody bad. There's bad guys in both sides. Like, let's agree on that. But the ideals that they hold, we believe, are what leads to ISIS type, you know, authority.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there is some sort of truth to Trump supporters driving those trucks, like any sort of organization driving trucks with the intent to fight for what they believe.
I would disagree a little bit, you know, driving the trucks around like that is like, it's obviously like fear mongering, you know, they're trying
to, that's what I'm saying. Fear mongering, show the lefties fighting for what you believe.
However, that is not even my biggest quarrel with conservatives right now. The biggest thing I'm seeing on Twitter right now is the election's not over. This is not my president. Okay. The election is not over. However, as of right now, then today is what? November 7th, 2020. Joe Biden is the president-elect. Like it or not, as of right now, he has 290 electoral votes. Now, whether those are legitimate or not, I don't know. But as of right now, he is the president-elect, you know? And you can't really change that right now. There's lawsuits pending, whatever. You know, election fraud or not.
It's a process. It's a whole process now.
Yes. But as of right now, like it or not, he is the president-elect, which means going out there and saying, oh, you know, he's not this, he's not that. Guess what? Right now, Joe Biden is president-elect. Don't care about
your feelings.
Yeah. So to all the conservatives who are saying like, oh, you know, blah, 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 he's not my president. He's not your president yet, but, you know, don't do what you mocked in 2016.
Yeah. Don't be a hypocrite.
One thing that bothers me more than anything is hypocrisy. That's a huge thing for me.
At the same time,
seeing conservatives, I want to finish this point. Seeing conservatives saying, oh, blah, 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 you know, this is all illegitimate. It might be. But at the same time, if Joe Biden ends up winning and things turn out to be legitimate, you're going to have to suck it up and accept the fact that, guess what? He's the president.
Well,
and don't get me wrong, I voted for Trump in the primary this year.
That's if you believe that we should still be a United States.
That's a whole nother point. I don't know.
That's the point of the Civil War, isn't it?
I wouldn't say so. I feel
what would the point of a civil war be?
To institute a new governance.
Yeah.
A new system.
Do you think we can do that while still holding unity?
It's possible. I think that's more likely than everyone in the United States just saying, you know what? No, we're splitting into two factions because, as I said, there's no line in the sand. You can't split us up into two countries.
Well, what if one country is just formed?
What do you mean?
Like, what if Texas secedes?
Well, Texas can do that, but I wouldn't see the point in that. They're not self-sustainable whatsoever.
Yes, they are.
Texas?
Yeah.
I would disagree heavily.
Using what?
Texas does not produce very much food. Where are they going to get their food from? Obviously, if they secede from the U.S., U.S. is not going to trade with them.
Why would they not trade with them? It's like our main importer of oil.
Purely out of principle. every time a city, state, whatever has seceded from a country, they tend to have pretty bad relations for a long time.
Well, I mean, they have a good relationship with Mexico. They could have a good relationship with Mexico. But I don't know. That would be a downgrade, wouldn't it be then?
Exactly.
Would it?
It is an extreme downgrade.
Well, okay, no. Think about it on another one. If Texas gets all the conservatives in it and then dips, all the businesses that are anti, you know, taxes would be in Texas.
Okay.
So all of the smart, arguably smart people are going to be the ones that deal with Mexico from then out. And I feel like even as, like, let's say it's not Texas. Let's say it's Texas and a few surrounding states. So where it's like maybe a third of the size of America, actually. Then maybe we could negotiate with Mexico as businessmen, not as people of different colors, just as businessmen. We're here to conduct a good trade deal. Like, let's be allies. We hold the same DNA in terms of Mexico being was evangelized somewhere like 100, 200 years ago, maybe 250 years ago. So we have the same roots.
Well, okay, here's my thing with the Civil War, man. I don't think it's going to be Civil War like you see in Libya or, you know, like in Egypt, whatever. It's not going to be like, you know, government versus people, that kind of thing. You know, it's...
Texas is one of the leading exporters of agricultural commodities.
Since when?
Let's see how old this is. It's literally
just curious because
I'm trying to find it. It's literally one PDF sheet. It's Texas agricultural facts from texasagriculture.gov.
So they
a bit biased, but like it's a gov. So
yeah, that's interesting. I actually did not know that.
25 billion in 2012
of agricultural exports.
Yep.
Huh, that is interesting. I actually didn't know that.
No, dude, I've been telling you. Texas.
Well, okay, like, I know Texas, but, like, you know.
Better yet. I
know that they were an agricultural exporter.
Better yet, this is how I could also picture this going. Conservatives actually, well, I can't say I picture this going, but, like, one-third allies with Mexico, one-third allies with Canada, or two-thirds ally with Canada.
I don't know about that. I don't think Canada would want to take on, you know.
No, I don't think they would. We are allied with them. How can you ally twice?
Are you talking about like merging?
No, I guess that's pointless theory. Well, I mean, I guess maybe they could merge actually.
I could not see that happening. Canada's pretty well off on their own. I don't see why they would
want
merge with. Yeah.
Want this socialism infection?
I mean, they already have socialism infection, but that's besides the point.
What would they differ then if all the conservatives were in Texas land?
I don't think I understand your question.
I feel like there's no merit to the question regardless, so whatever, let's just move on.
Basically, my issue with this whole Civil War idea is, first of all, people, I feel like, don't care enough to really take it to that point, if I'm honest.
I'm sure there's a lot of people like me, and I care enough to where I have a 3-year plan to end up in Texas.
Yeah, okay, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking...
Wait, which one are you talking? Oh, like, right now, people don't care enough to start a civil war in 2021?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Because at the end of the day... people were not very hype about either candidate. It felt like for, you know, most people
were hype choosing about Trump.
Between
people were mad hype, you know, about Trump.
Yeah, but not to the extent of 2016.
Not like
the
dying,
hype,
like
the
not
hype
like,
around Trump.
Not like Hitler hype.
No. God. the hype around Donald Trump in 2016 was way, way higher than now. And the voting shows that, you know. Now, well, whether those vote counts are legitimate or not, that's a whole nother question.
Wait, but then how can they show that there's less hype?
Well, if you, you know,
if the, okay, so if
Donald
the
votes, Trump did not flip very many people.
Well, how do, okay, so are the votes accurate or not?
You want my personal belief?
Well, you're giving me two sides of a coin right now.
Yeah, I am. Personal belief, I don't think they're accurate. There's a lot of evidence, evidence of alleged voter fraud. Mm. However, you know, they could be accurate. We don't know yet. It could just be.
They literally can't be.
They can be.
Logically, they can't be.
Logically, they very much can be.
Oh.
They could just not be faked.
The chances of them, all 100% of them being not fraud are.
Well, okay.
Think about the ratio 100%. Of it being fraud or not.
Here, but what I'm saying is there could be some fraud, but, you know, remove the fraudulent votes and Biden still wins. That is a possibility. You know,
yeah,
we could be overblowing this fraud thing a little too much. You know, who knows? It could be that, you know, 8 million votes are fraud.
Or I could also argue against, I could argue that's being passive.
I'm not being passive. I'm just saying there's two sides to this because it could be fraud, but to the point where it's extremely substantial, you know, like millions of votes, or it could be fraud like 200,000 across the entire U.S. and it makes absolutely no difference and Donald Trump still loses. We don't know yet. You know?
So the coin is millions of fraudulent votes versus 200 spread across?
Well, like 200, not an exact number, obviously, but like
somewhere,
you know, not a big number where it doesn't make a difference.
Sub-mil.
Where not even sub-mil, it could be over a mil, but to the point where even if those votes are removed, Biden still wins. That's my point.
Because
it could be fraudulent to the point where the election was stolen, or it could be fraudulent to where even if you remove those votes, Biden still wins.
There's a genius out there that figured out a really simple algorithm or formula to this. Not that I know of, but I'm sure there is one because people write algorithms to trade the entire stock market for years at a time. I'm sure there's someone that figured out every possible scenario, and it doesn't sound like there's many. It sounds like there's like 3 to 6 possible scenarios that could happen. I feel like somebody figured all 3 of those out, all 6 of those out. And if you could write this out, like go full schizo, full crazy, full insane, and like dig through all the books to figure this out, you could place like maybe $100 unprobable gambles on each 6 of those scenarios, and one of those will hit and return like thousands of percent, so it would cancel out the other 3 because they were so low prob. I feel like someone's gonna cash in. A lot of people are gonna cash in on this election so much. I feel like when the money starts to dry up is when people start to really get emotional, or not even money, when the food dries up, people start to get very emotional and start to only care about the essentials, meaning their family. I feel like that's when then civil war becomes an option. But right now, I don't feel that. I don't feel money drying up, right? Money's very, very flowing right now. I don't feel like resources. Food, there could be a famine. There could be a famine that pushes us to civil war, but I think that's the one that's 4 years away.
Yeah, I think 4 years is probably even too close. I would say within the next 10 years is possible, like a very likely
50-50
number.
50-50, either within the next 4 or within the next 10, but I would say it's inevitable. Well,
civil war is inevitable because the average lifespan of a country is 250 years.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I really didn't know that.
Like without a big issue rising up, as in election fraud to the point where a civil war happens. But the average lifespan of a country is 250 years. And guess how long America's been a thing?
200.
Just a little under 250 years. I think.
It was 1880s. I think like 240.
Yeah, exactly. Just under 250 years.
Oh, shit.
Probability says Civil War happens in the next 10 years.
Bro.
That's exactly my point.
Think about it. 2020 started the countdown. One decade left. This is big. This is big.
Wow. And that is my reasoning for saying 10 years.
Holy shit. Wow. Well.
I'm not just speaking out of my ass.
I'm literally speechless about this one decade left thing. I feel like I'm going to be stuck on that for like a week.
Well, now think that's an average. We could have an extra 10 years on
top of that. But that's how our elections are set up. Could be an extra.
Yeah.
No, подумай. 7 лет is how long the... how would I... Tribulation? 7 лет is how long it's going to last.
Yeah.
So within the next 3 years, something's going to happen. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. That's for the Russian tinfoils. That's really far out there. That's really far out there.
That's not even far out.
That's not even that far. I could translate that into English and a couple people out there would have a click moment and understand what I said.
Here, I'll translate it slightly and put it in the reviews and comments if you get it. 7 years of tribulation. What's one more word I can throw in there?
I think that's plenty.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, if we really want to throw the clueless people out there a bone, though, what do we say? Let's be really vague, bro. We could have teased them for a little bit.
You can always mute that or put a beep.
But all right, let's leave them with one more word. Let's give them a fighting chance to crack this puzzle.
Hold on. The bear and the eagle become one.
Let's go, baby. Yeah. Wow. I hope everybody listening to this is waking up as excited as we are every fucking day.
Yeah. Jeez. Ready to go home, you know?
Bro, I'm ready to take advantage of opportunity when she knocks, because that bitch FaceTimes you. If you don't get your pants on, she's leaving the fucking driveway. Like, I'm sorry, you gotta be prepared.
This sounds like an analogy that's a little too like specific.
Thank you guys for listening, bro. Thank you guys for listening to our prophecies. About that last one, I'd like to also relate that to a story from the Bible, which you about the 10 bridesmaids from Matthew 25, where there's 10 bridesmaids and they were waiting for the grooms, and they had to wait through like the night, and so they had lamps with oil, and 5 of the bridesmaids brought extra oil, so they were prepared, and the other 5 did not, so their lamps ran out. So when the grooms got there, they couldn't find them, so they bounced because they weren't ready. Opportunity came and it bounced, but the 5 bridesmaids that had the oil on deck, they got to go with it. They got to go with opportunity. See what I'm saying? So that's just the relationship I had in my head. Personally, I just cuss. I don't curse. I don't believe in bringing in realities that you're tied to, because I believe in redemption. So sometimes I will say words you might not appreciate, but I promise it's coming from a professional declaration. Thank you for listening this far into the episode, by the way, and as always, listen harder.